How's everybody today? It's good to see you all, with masks or no masks, whatever we're doing. It seems like a really crazy time right now, obviously. And I was going through the headlines last night and this morning. And I want to read you the headline that I read first thing this morning off the top of the news. Cities across U.S., see night of mayhem marked by riots, fires, vandalism, fatal shootings. Friday, the son of one of my coworkers comes into our store. He works at Walmart, okay? Got off his shift at Walmart, walks into our store, talks to his dad, not 10 feet away from me, so I can hear the entire conversation. Tells his dad, "Do you remember Denny?" Dad says, "Denny." We used to hang out together, high school. Dark hair kid. "Oh, Denny, yeah, Denny. Yeah, okay." Well, Denny shows up at Walmart and tells my coworker's son, "Dude, you got to come do what I'm doing. I'm getting paid $1,500 a week plus airfare to go all over the country and getting these riots." Yeah, exactly. So, those of you on Facebook, if you wouldn't mind sharing this with somebody, those of you who are traveling around the country and causing riots and mayhem, and those of you who are paying for them to do so, let me ask you something. Could you bring enough rain to flood the entire face of the earth and kill everything on it? I don't think so. Could you bring pillars of fire down from heaven and kill everything on the earth? I don't think so. You want mayhem? You want disaster? You want fires? You want everybody dead? Just keep doing what you're doing. You will see mayhem beyond anything you can wildly imagine in a million lifetimes. I'm off my stump now. I think it's time that we understand that we're living in a really stupid age right now where people are doing some stupid things. But we're also living in a good age because it's God's age, and we have to understand that as well. A few more headlines. Feds clash with rioters again in Portland. NYPD releases disturbing video of dad and daughter attacked by thugs. Community figure, Trump supporter, shot dead outside his own store. Cop sentenced to 15 years in prison for sexual abuse. Two hurricanes will impact two different U.S. cities this weekend. 6.1 scale earthquake hits Alaska. And of course, we all know what's going on with the COVID-19 crisis, everything that's going on there. Now, I don't know where you stand on this, but just on the way out here, we were listening to a message on WBCL from a pastor who was again touting the end of the world is here. It's coming. It is at hand. And y'all need to repent. Now, and we see that all over social media. How many of you every day get on Facebook and you see people with that message? It's coming. Y'all better be prepared because the end of the world is here. It's here, it's here, it's here. Well, I suggest to you that the end of the world is going to come when God says the end of the world is going to come. Okay? Now, in 2 Timothy, verse 3, if you want to turn there, it says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. They shall be covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents." Did you hear that, Jake? No, actually, Jake is a really, really, really good boy. We are blessed. We are very blessed. He is a wonderful young man. Let me see, unholy, without natural affection, And on and on. False accusers. Where do we see that in today's news all over the place, right? Incontinent. And I kind of laughed at that one because I think what they're talking about is incontinent. You know, your brain is a little bit off. I think there's a lot of people incontinent right now, particularly in the mouth. Things, you know, things are running out that probably shouldn't be. So, but that's kind of the way that I took that in this context. They're fierce despisers of those that are good. Now, by that, you know, I'm looking at this and all of the people that are out there hating police right now, all of the people out there hating the military right now. If you're in uniform, they have a thing against you for some reason. So, you know, we indeed can see some things that could definitely be interpreted as saying, be careful. Be careful. If you'll turn to me to 1 Timothy 4:1, and no, I'm not going to just use Bible verses from our pastor's namesake today, but 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 says, "Now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." So what do you think? Was it the end of the world coming? Are we indeed in the last days? Are we approaching the time when Jesus is going to come? And I think that, you know, those of them that are preaching this message, that are out there talking about this, I don't want to criticize. They're not wrong by saying, hey, get your act together, get your stuff together. They're not wrong about that at all. But I think preaching a doom and gloom is also something that we've got to be careful of. We don't want to be doing that either, I don't think. Okay? I think we want to be careful with that. Now in Mark, and yes, that is the second person of church that I'm mentioning here. In Mark chapter 13, verse 32, Jesus says, "But of that day and that hour, no man knows. No, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but only the Father." So if Jesus, the Son of God, the Redeemer of the world, doesn't know, if God the Father hasn't whispered in his ear, by the way, get ready for the trumpet blast and riding in on the clouds because it's about to happen. If he doesn't know, if only God the Father knows, then I submit to you, we don't know. We just don't know. The end of the world could come before I finish this sentence. Okay, we're good so far. The end of the world could come before we all walk out of here. The end of the world could come this week. It could come next week. It could come 50,000 years from now. We don't know. So, Sue, you're saying you just want the world to end now? You're ready? That's right. You got family that needs saved yet. Now, let's get into that. Thank you for that segue. I appreciate that very much. Now, in Matthew chapter 24, verse 44, you want to write these down and read them because they are so pertinent to this day and age that we're in right now. So pertinent. Jesus said, "Therefore, be you also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man will come." Two verses before that, he said the same thing. "Watch therefore, for you know not what hour the Lord comes." So what is the moral of the story, folks? The moral of the story is, don't get yourself ready because you think the end of the world is coming. The moral of the story is, be ready always. That's what the moral of the story is. Be ready always, so that when that day comes, you're all covered. You're all good. Okay, you got this. In Luke chapter 21, verse 36, Jesus said, "Watch therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all the things that shall come to pass and stand before the Son of Man." Now, when he says that you shall escape all those things that come to pass, I think what he's talking about is all the bad stuff that he warned about earlier, that the Bible talks about earlier, all the bad stuff that's going to happen before the end of the times come. If you're ready and you're praying and you're with God, all that stuff is not going to harm you. All that stuff is not going to harm you. If you get caught up in it, it's going to harm you. If you dwell on it, it's going to harm you. If you participate in it, it's going to harm you. But if you stay vigilant and you stay on top of it, you're going to be just fine. So that is the crux of my message today. Now, is there a God that will bring down wrath on us if we don't repent, if we don't do the things that he tells us to do? Absolutely. How do I know that? Because it says so in Romans chapter 2, verse 5. It says, "But because of your stubbornness and your unexpected heart," in other words, you aren't ready. You aren't ready. Jesus told you, be ready. You aren't ready. "Because of your stubbornness and your unexpected heart, you are storing up wrath against yourself for that day of God's wrath when his righteous judgment will be revealed." There will be judgment. Make no mistake. And there will be wrath. Make no mistake. It's in the Bible. I don't know about you guys, but I kind of believe that book. I kind of believe the Word of God. I don't believe always what comes out of the mouths of men, because men will distort things to serve their own purposes. Men will outright lie to you if it gains them an advantage. I believe the Word of God. And the Word of God says there's going to be judgment. There's going to be wrath. There's going to be wailing and gnashing of teeth. There's going to be people that are going to be sent to eternal damnation in hell. It's in the Bible. It is real. It's going to happen. Just don't let yourself be one of those. Don't let it happen to you. What's that old? That's an old television commercial, isn't it? An old car insurance commercial or something like that? Just don't let this happen to you. It was from years ago. I'm dating myself now. Some of you weren't even born when that commercial was on. Others of you were. You probably remember that. So, getting into the crux of the message here. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, Jesus said, he began to preach from that time on, "Turn away from your sins, because the kingdom of heaven is near." Now, back then, they probably felt like, oh, wow, the end of the world's coming really, really soon. That was 2,000 years ago. That's probably what they meant. Here's what I think Jesus meant. This is just me. "Turn away from your sins, because the kingdom of heaven is near." We have the kingdom of heaven within us. God built that in us before he formed us in our mother's womb. Remember the Bible verse that says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." We come from heaven. Remember that. That's where we come from, and that's where we're going to go. We're going to go back home when it's all over and said and done. But we come from him. We come from heaven. I preached a message here years ago where I biblically proved that we have God's very DNA in us. We carry the DNA of God the Father Almighty in us. If we repent, if we stay away from those things that take us away from him, that make us fall short. If we get out of that, guess what happens? The kingdom within us is released. The kingdom within us is at hand. The kingdom is here. That's what he wants on earth as it is in heaven. We are the key to on earth as it is in heaven. We are the windows from which he puts heaven into the world. We can't do that if we're clogged up with sin and we refuse to repent and get rid of it. We just refuse to get rid of it, and it keeps clawing back, and it keeps us from being who we need to be, and it keeps the kingdom within us from coming out. But Jesus said that. Turn away from your sins, because the kingdom of heaven is near. It's right here. It's here. It's within you. So let's talk a little bit about repentance. Tim's preached a message about repentance for a long time. It's talking about getting rid of your stinking thinking. You know? You can't just keep messing up, keep sinning, keep running the same things over and over again. What's that thing about if you keep doing the same thing, you know, expect a different result? That's the definition of insanity, right? You can't just keep doing things, bad things, things that you know are sinful, and expect salvation. You can't do that. That's not a part of the equation. The part of the equation is Jesus died for your sins and redeemed you, but then you also have to turn away from sin in order to gain that salvation that he gave you. You can't, when the trumpet blasts and the clouds open up and you see Jesus coming on the clouds, you can't fall on your knees and beg forgiveness at that time. It will be too late at that time. It'll be too late. I like to explain repentance in the context of a garden or a flower bed. God created you to be beautiful, beautiful. He created you to be a beautiful budding flower. I look at one in my house every day. He created you to bear fruit, wonderful fruit, cherries or apples or watermelons or whatever your favorite fruit is. He created you to bear fruit. He created you to nourish other people. He created you like a vegetable, that you can nourish people and give them the nutrients that they need to survive and live. He created you to bear fruit so that people could eat of that fruit and people could prosper from that fruit. He created you to be beautiful, like a flower, like a rose, all of that stuff. What happens when weeds grow up? The weeds kill the fruit. They kill the flowers. They kill the vegetables. They kill them. So we take great pains. Consider your garden, your rose patch, whatever it is. Consider that you and your soul. And you are the gardener. Well, if you go around and you take a weed whacker and you whack that weed down, you're saying, God, please forgive me. I've sinned. I confess my sin. You ask you to forgive me my sin. Weed's gone, whacked off. Boom. But what happens? That weed comes back. The weed comes back. And the weed does just as much damage as it did the first time. It starts choking off the fruit. It starts choking off the vegetables. It starts choking off the beauty of the flowers. It won't let the flowers be beautiful. It won't let the plant bear fruit. It won't let the vegetables grow to nourish. It won't. Because that weed is just like sin, and it's choking off all the good, everything that you were meant to be, every flower, every vegetable, every fruit that you were meant to bear is going away because that thing is choking it off. So the only way, as you all know, the only way to get rid of that weed is to rip it up by the root, kill it completely. So how do we rip it up? How do we kill it completely? Sin. You turn away from it. You make a determination, that is a sin. I am not going to do that anymore. And you pray God's help, and you work at it to make sure that you don't do that anymore. That's repentance. That's changing the way you do things to stop committing the sin that's killing off your beauty and killing off your ability to bear fruit, which God created you for. Does that make sense to anybody but me? Rip it up from the root. Rip it right up. What happens when you rip up a weed from the root? It stops growing, doesn't it? It can't grow anymore because you're holding in your hand. So the next time you want to repent, get that picture in your brain. I'm going to rip this sin right up from the root, and I'm going to hold it in this hand that God gave me. And I'm going to say, I have conquered you, and I'm not going back. And then throw that thing in a burn pile and burn it and get rid of it. Then you can bear fruit. Then you can be the vegetable to nourish others that God meant you to be. Then you can be that gorgeous, beautiful flower that He meant you to be, that He created you to be. That, I believe, is what Jesus was talking about. Rip it up from the root. Don't let it grow back. Kill it. Be done with it. So, in this mess, how can we keep our heads when all those around us are going crazy? Because there's a lot of craziness out there. I think it's because we have the hope and the guarantee that God gave us through Jesus. I think it's because we know we are a child of God. I think it's because we know that if we do the things that God tells us to do, that Jesus warned us about, that He told us to do, that we are going to be just fine in this world of mess. We're going to be okay. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. And yes, another reference to a person of our church. How about that? Pretty cool, huh? Anyway, and Tim has talked about this verse many times in here, because it's so pertinent to today's date, today's timing. It's so pertinent. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. So we know what God's plan is for us. Now, there are people on the planet that don't have that same plan, but we know what God's plan is for us. He has a plan to prosper us. He has a plan to protect us. He has a plan to give us a future. So we can definitely take comfort in that. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, it says, and I've seen this on social media, particularly about this particular time that we're now living in. Then if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear them from the heavens, and I will forgive their sins, and I will restore their land. Yes, some of you could even finish that thing for me. You've read it so often, and you know it. I love the fact that I can get up here and preach, and the people that are sitting out in front of me are much better Bible scholars than I am. I love that. It's a wonderful thing. The way you people read your Bible and the way that you accept it and drink it in, it's wonderful. I want to just take a minute to talk about that seek my face. I think we have to turn our attention to Him. Let's take our attention away from the headlines. Let's take our attention away from what's going on around us. Let's take our attention away from the people that are doing the things that are harming each other, harming other people. Take our attention away from that and put our attention on Jesus. Pay attention to Him. Pay attention to His teachings. Pay attention to the way He lived and represent Him, as Tim likes to say, on earth, so that earth can be like heaven. Pay attention to Him. Focus your attention on Jesus. It says, not only pray, and we have to pray, and He gave a beautiful message about prayer last week, about being persistent and how to pray and believing, and it was a wonderful message. If you didn't hear it, it's on the website, Absolutely. Go to the website. It was a beautiful message about prayer. Pray, but seek his face. Look for him in everything you do. Look for him. He's there. He wants you to look for him. He wants you to seek him out. He wants to be a part of everything you do. Everything. Let him in there. Promise you, you won't regret it. Let him in there. But seeking his face, I think, is a key to this. Looking for Jesus in the mess, in the melee, in the mayhem, as the headlines read. We, as believers, have not only the blessing to be able to do that, but I think we've been commanded to do so. I think we have a duty to do so. I think that's a part of our calling here on earth. And this is one of my favorite verses. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him and who have been called according to his purpose. Now I ask you, haven't we all been called according to his purpose? We've all been called according to his purpose, have we not? We've all been placed here for his purpose. We've all been placed here with his design, with what he had in mind. We've all been placed here for that. He knew us before he formed us in our mother's womb, and our mother gave birth, and here we are, and he has placed us here for his purpose. So we've already got that part covered. So God works for the good of those who love him. What do you suppose that means? God works for the good in all things for those who love him. I would suggest to you that God works for the good in all things for those who follow what Jesus told us to do. Turn away from sin. Because you know not the day or the hour. Pray unceasingly. Go therefore and preach the gospel to all nations and baptize those in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. We turn away from our sin. We grab it by the root and pull it out and burn it so that it never has a chance to come back ever. We pray. We turn our attention to him. That's how we love God. He loves us unconditionally, and we know that. That's an unconditional love. But he will take care of us, and he will work to the good in all things. If we love him, Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Being confident in this, that he who bears a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Okay? He's doing his work through you. He's doing his work through you. And he's going to continue to do that until the day that Jesus comes. So if we put all this together, put everything together, we know that we're going to be okay. We know that we're going to be fine. You need to be the you that God created you to be. You need to be the you that he needs you to be here. Not only for him, but for you and for all those around you whose lives you touch. It's a beautiful thing when you can touch a life in a positive way. Just ask every mother in this room. They've experienced that. Most of us, our first experience of heaven touching earth was our mom. Just the way it is. And I think, don't forget also, amongst all this stuff, that Jesus gave us his peace. He blessed us. In John 14:27, he says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give it to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid." So with all of this mess going on, he's telling you, don't be afraid. It's all good. Don't be afraid. Turn away from your sin. Bear the fruit that the Father created you to bear. And you will be ready when my time comes to come back. You'll be there. And then he'll be able to say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." The biggest blessing I hope to have forever. I want to hear those words. How many here want to hear those words? Yeah, those are the words we want to hear. Philippians 4:6-7 says, "Do not be anxious about anything," i.e., what's going on in the world today. "Do not be anxious about anything, even the end of the world. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ." So you see, he's telling us, don't worry about all this. This isn't something to go, "Oh my gosh, the end of the world is coming." If you're taking care of business, you don't have to worry about it. Because you're there with him and he is with you. You are with him and he is with you. And everything is going to be grand. And you've got the salvation that he earned for you in your hand. And the only person that can get rid of it is you. Nobody can take it away from you. Not the rioters, not the looters, not the people shooting folks. Not the people paying people to go out and riot, loot, and shoot people. They can't take that away from you. Hurricanes can't take that away from you. Earthquakes can't take that away from you. COVID-19 can't take that away from you. Don't have fear. Be in him and let him be in you. And you have salvation right here. Eternal salvation forever and ever and ever. So, I started this whole message with the doom and gloom and these awful headlines and people messing up and murdering one another and all that stuff. But think about this. I wish I had the board out here right now. If you have hope, H, if you turn your attention, A, to him, if you pray, P, if you have the peace that he gave you, P, and if you are the you that he created you to be, if you turn back from your sin and you are the you that he created you to be, guess what you are? You are happy. You are happy. And nobody can take that away from you. Have hope. Turn your attention to Jesus. Pray. Accept his peace and operate in it and live in it and be the you that God created you to be. And all of this stuff that we're fretting about right now is meaningless because you are happy. And when you're happy, God is happy.